good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. Hello, welcome to our Wednesday Bible study. My name is Michael Evans, and I am the pastor here at the Bethlehem Baptist Church. Thank you so much for being a part of our time together. And let me also welcome those of you who are Sunday school teachers and you are getting ready to share this lesson with your Sunday school class. I am well aware of the fact that we need to always make sure that we sharpen our sword so that we can deliver the Word of God with clarity. So let's get right into it. Our lesson topic today is a mission to save. A mission to save from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 13. A mission to save. Regarding Isaiah, of course, we talked about him on last week. We know that Isaiah prophesied, served for some 54 years, at least 50 plus years of service. And what we are hearing today is a prophetic word that Isaiah is speaking existentially in regard to his people. He's speaking it in their time, and it has double meaning. Meaning for them that day, those who were listening, hearing, and also for those of our era. But for a reader coming out of exile to hear as well, out of Babylonian captivity, be mindful of the fact that you had, first of all, the northern kingdom that had been ravaged, that had been just obliterated by the Assyrians, and they were all cast out, turned away, and then the land was repopulated with foreigners, people from other nations. The Assyrians planted them there. The bloodlines mixed, and they became the Samaritans, all right? And then, of course, several decades later, then the southern kingdom was ravaged by the Babylonians. So here you have this song of hope, so to speak, that is coming to us through Isaiah. And I think it's important for us to hear what he's saying to them, but also what he is saying to us. So let's get right into our verses. Verse number one, and y'all know what my practice is. We'll read the verse and then we will exegete it one by one at a time. All right. Verse 1 says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name." From the bowels of my mother had he made mention of my name. The speaker is attempting to get the attention of the people. He wants the people to hear, to know that he is trying to speak to them, and he needs for them to understand that God is speaking to and through him. That is important. He says, listen, there are many individuals who will look you dead in your face. They will look at you as if they know what you're saying and they agree with you. And, you know, I mean, and it goes in one ear, goes out the other. Listen or hearken means don't just hear, but I need you to pay attention. I need you to pay attention to the words that's going forward. Listen, O isles, unto me. He's talking to everyone, all of those who are in his hearing. And he's also making reference or note to the scattered people of Israel, the scattered people of Judah. He said, O isles, he's talking about a plethora of people. So the word is going out from his location. It's being broadcast. He wants everybody to hear this word from him. It says, and hearken, you people from far. No matter where you are, you people from far. The Lord called me from the womb. He's saying the word that I'm delivering is an authoritative word because the word comes from a man who had been picked out, appointed, anointed by God to speak this word. I tell people all the time, I know preaching when I hear it. Amen. I know a prophetic word when I hear it. And that's not just Michael Evans, because I've been in ministry for a generation, but also for you. You know, because the spirit in you ought to agree with the spirit that is in them. If the spirit in you does not agree with the spirit in them, you need to check that spirit. And I really mean that, in you and or in them. The Lord called me from the womb. This is also important for those of us who are pro-life people. Again, not getting ready to deal with the political side of that thing. God bless you. I know there are arguments for, you know, legislating the use of a woman's body. I got that. I ain't talking about that. What I'm saying is, according to the word of God, God is at work even in the womb. When a child is in the womb, God is at work. God gives the name. God gives the personality. God gives the guidance. He is the one that supplies all of that. The word of God is clear here. He called me from the womb. He knew what Michael Evans was going to do 55 years after being born. He knows what you're going to do after you're born. And watch this. Let me break it down even more. There are different paths that we can take in life. There are different paths that we can take in life. God knows the outcome of every path. He knows the outcome of every road you pick. And that's why God works to get us on the right road. That one that will help us to fulfill our calling, our destiny, and also the one that also works toward the advancement of the kingdom of God. All right. From the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. I was touched. I was appointed by God, even in the pregnancy. Amen. Even in the pregnancy. So my life position is based upon my belief of the word of God. The word of God says that child in the womb is viable, is alive, and is destined for an assignment given to them by God. Amen. Given to them by God. Verse number 2 says, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. Amen. God touched the mouth of the prophet. God touches the mouth of the preacher. Amen. God gives us a word and God expects us to deliver that word. God imbues our words with authority. And there are times when the word of God goes out and it is sharp and it is cutting. A few of you commented on Sunday's sermon, you know, when I said, yeah, I was a little bothered this morning. Well, bothered didn't mean I was mad at anybody, but there are times when the word of God weighs on you so heavy and he calls us out to deliver a word that you know isn't going to solicit any amens, that you know isn't going to get any hand claps, any head nods, any hands waving. It's a word that meets you right where you are. And it is as if God is saying to that man, step in that person's living room, go in their bedroom, go in their kitchen, and I want you to say that word. I want you to preach a word that deals directly with your situation, just like it is as if you were standing looking them in the face. And you know all their business. And I don't know any of your business. I don't know your business. None of your business. But it is a word that is spoken that God gives to you, and it will cut you. But let me help you understand something. It also cuts the preacher. The preacher it doesn't walk on water. The preacher doesn't have wings underneath his jacket or her jacket. The preacher is a human being called out by God to deliver a message. And sometimes that message will cut you. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me. That's safety. For the preachers listening, for the teachers listening, for the parents listening, for the supervisors listening, if you tell the truth, if you are standing on the word of God, if you're standing on the truth, it will make you, cause you to be unpopular. I'm an elected official, so I can lose votes when I tell people that I'm pro-life. I can lose votes when I tell individuals that I'm going to follow the word of God. I can lose votes when they hear me praying from the day off. But you know what? I don't mind losing votes. As long as I got King Jesus, I have enough. I have enough. I even know that there are certain subjects that bother the church members. And I've known pastor friends of mine who have lost their church because they spoke up and out against homosexuality. I know who they are. And the church turned them out. But here's the thing. That brother landed in a good place. Listen, if the word of God is of offense to those who are listening, then the word of God is calling them out. He loves you enough. If it offends you, he's saying to you that I love you. And because of the offense that you feel, the uncomfortability that you feel, God is in you and God is trying to call that out of you so that you can be pure, holy, upright, like God would have you to be. So in the shadow of his hand, in other words, he hides us. He covers us. He protects us. And watch this. And he makes us a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. Amen. When you go through some things in your life, God not only keeps you safe, but God keeps you ready. He keeps you safe and he keeps you ready. He made me a polished shaft. That means that he's sharpening up the sword. He's getting you ready and he puts you in the quiver, and then God can pull you out when it's time for battle. I love that imagery. Verse number 3 says, and he said unto me, thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. And he said unto me, thou art my servant. Amen. He said unto me, servant. I want to hear the Lord say, servant, well done. Amen. One of the greatest honors that I have in my personal life is knowing that God picked me up, picked me out, called me up, called me out to serve in his program. Amen. If you feel an unction on the inside, if you feel a calling to serve God, you better know that God put that calling in your spirit. And it is up to you to answer the calling, answer the call to serve. I didn't say the call to volunteer. Volunteers pick where they serve. But real servants of God, you go wherever God needs you. Amen. He said, I heard him say that you are my servant. M-Y. My servant, not the devil's servant. My servant, not the school district servant. My servant, not the city servant. My servant, you are my servant, saith the Lord. You are my servant. That means you belong to me, O Israel. You belong to me. Now, when he uses the term, O Israel, he's speaking in general, not just to those who were the inhabitants of the northern kingdom, but he's speaking now to the unified kingdom. I'm everybody's God. He says, you are my servant, comma, O Israel. Israel, the Jewish people, in particular, and I'm not being discriminatory, please don't hear me say that. What I'm saying is the gospel was presented first to the Jews and then to us Gentiles. And what happened was, rather than the chosen people choosing and receiving Christ as their Savior, many of them, not all, chose to reject Christ. The door of opportunity then being open to us Gentiles, amen, makes us all a part of the family of God. When he says, O Israel, he's talking about the family, hallelujah, he's talking about the family of God. He's talking about the family of God. Amen. It's good to know that you are part of the family of God, in whom I will be glorified. God is to be glorified through our actions. God is to be glorified through our service. God is to be glorified through the person sweeping up, the church on Sunday morning or before service gets started. God is glorified in the people who serve breakfast. God is glorified in the ushers who are standing at the door with a smile, the greeters smiling to receive you. Glorified in the parking lot. Our service glorifies God, and we should not therefore ever look to be glorified ourselves, because our glory comes, amen, through Christ. Amen. Glory meaning approval, glory meaning honor, glory meaning how we reverence God. It highlights that. Verse number 4 said, then I said, I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. Has there not ever been a time where you've been discouraged? Has there never been a time where you've been, disappointed? Has there not ever been a time when, like Jeremiah, you say, I'm going to stay home because I'm getting in more trouble speaking up for you than I am not saying a word. And God says, no, but you got to go. He says, I have labored. It seems sometimes, God, that I have labored in vain. The same people I've been preaching to seem like they don't get it. The children that you raised seem like they ignorant, don't understand. The co-workers who you help to pick up, later on when they get up, they try to put you down. I have labored in vain. It seems as if sometimes when you're walking the walk and you're talking the talk that you can't hear from on high. You cannot receive the help that you know that you need, but it's there. He said, but I've spent my strength. Seemed like I spent all of my strength for nothing. Seemed like I've done it all for nothing. Seemed like I've done it all for nothing. Come on. Anybody out there feeling like the things, the work that you've done has been for nothing? I need to tell you, it's not for nothing. It's not in vain, because on the other side of that is of that colon, it says, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord. Look, when it's all said and done, amen, the work that I've done will be judged by the Almighty God. If I am less than what I need to be, if I'm not giving God my all, He's going to judge me. If I am not giving God my everything, then He's going to judge me. No, our work is with our God. Amen. So what does that mean, preacher? Well, what that means is everything that you do, do it as unto God. Amen. Let me be plainer. Everybody you serve, you got to keep in mind that when you serve them, know that you're serving God by serving them. You're serving God by serving them. I gave a shout out yesterday. The other day, and in the shout out, I had to admit something that pains me even to now. For the 30 some odd years that I've served, this is the first time that we've not had a group eligible, able, willing to serve repast to a family in need. That pained me. That pains me. That's embarrassing to me. That's bothersome to me. And it'll cause you to go to your study and just turn off everything, turn off the lights, and put your face in your hands and say, God, what of us? What is it that the pandemic has it really been a tool of the adversary? Has the pandemic so cut people off from worship, from service, God? I'm talking about preachers and deacons and deaconess and folk like that, and church mothers and people like that who were off long enough, 2 years, to where the habit of worshiping God has been so broken to where now they feel all right to sit out of worship. They feel all right to just be pacified by streaming on a device, rather than coming in and receiving, what God has in store for them. It is simply mind-boggling. And you could be like Isaiah and say, is all of this stuff in vain? He said, but yet my judgment. He said, but God is going to judge me. God knows my heart. God knows what I'm trying to do. God knows why I'm trying to do it. God knows that I can't help myself because of the Holy Spirit that is in me. So my work is with God. Verse number 5, he says, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Listen, again, from the womb, it's repetition, y'all, it's repetition. From the womb, God has given me my assignment. That's what Isaiah is saying. I would say the same about you. From your womb, God, from the womb of your parent, your mama, God gave you an assignment. The question is, are you living out the assignment that God has given to you? And if you are not, then help me to understand, why are you delaying the inevitable? You cannot outrun your destiny. You cannot outrun your purpose. You cannot outrun your reason for being alive, for breathing. You cannot. And as long as you've got breath in your body, God is calling you up and calling you out to serve. He says, my job was to bring Jacob, bring the people back together again. My job is a bridge builder. My job is a unifier. My job is a unifier. And yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. I shall be, in other words, the work that I've done shall be approved by God. Amen. My work shall be approved by God. Why? Because God is the one that gave me the assignment in the first place. And my God shall be my strength. Yeah, go back to verse number 4. When I'm discouraged, when I'm disappointed, at times when I'm disillusioned, I find that my strength is in God. When I am at my wit's end, my strength is in God. Listen, when you are contemplating giving up, your strength is in God. You know what's starting to bother me? I'm starting to hear too many people in these gospel songs or what have you talk about they contemplated suicide. You got to stop that mess because we are children of God. We don't get to contemplate suicide. You cannot homicide, but not suicide. You cannot dare attempt to doom yourself to hell. Don't allow the adversary to get you that close to the edge to where you are considering jumping off. We believe in the Baptist faith of what is called, this is in our articles of faith, it's called the perseverance of the saints. See, every one of us who's alive today, we are the benefactors of our foreparents who didn't give up, they didn't give out, and they didn't give in. If they had, we wouldn't be here today. Stop talking about you are contemplating suicide. Listen, that is from the belly of hell, from the devil, and that, my child, is a lie. Don't ever let the devil get you that close. See, because always around us, we have God near us, and we can speak to him, and if we just hush long enough and turn off the television, turn off the telephone, turn off the radio, turn up the word of God, turn it up, turn it up, turn it up, then we can hear him speaking to us. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm going to preach. Amen. He's our strength, though. He's our strength. Amen. He is our strength. If you listen to me, God is your strength. If you listen to me, Carrie Thompson, God is your strength. If you're listening to me, Vanetta Phillips, God is your strength. If you're listening to me, Terrence Phillips, God is your strength. If you're listening to me, Mother George, God is your strength. If you're listening to me, Mother Diaz, God is your strength. If you're listening to me, Sharon Massey, God is your strength. If you're listening, Ronnie Evans, my daddy, God is your strength. If you're listening, Michelle, if you're listening, God is our strength. Amen. 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 Calm down. I'm going to preach it. I'm sorry. I'm teaching. All right. Verse number 6 says, and he said, look, this is God talking back. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. It's a light thing. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Hallelujah. You're discouraged, verse number four. You're disappointed, verse number four. You're questioning whether your labor's in vain because things are not falling into place, verse number four. Verse number five, you have declared and come to understand that God is your strength. Come on, stay with me. This is God answering back. I love this about God. You put the word out there. You say what you say. God will answer you back. And in verse number six, God says, what you're talking about is a light thing. See, all that your world is this round. God says, but what I see is a whole lot bigger than what you are looking at. It's a whole lot bigger than what you are contemplating. It's a whole lot bigger than what you can see. You can only see what's in front of you. God can see what's beyond you. You can only see what's in front of you. God can see what's beyond you. God is saying, Isaiah, don't get discouraged because these folk don't want to hear you. That's a light thing because I've got bigger things for you to do. That's verse number six. Verse number six, I call you to be bigger than where you are. I called you to do more than just preach to your people. I am giving you a word that's going to go beyond your folk. That's going to encompass the entire world. It's going to go far beyond where you are. Oh, that's a word for somebody. Let me tell you something. Whatever it is you're going through right now, whatever it is you're going through right now, Clara Smith, whatever it is you're going through right now, God is simply preparing you for bigger, better. God is preparing you for greater ministerial work. God is preparing you, whoever you are, brother or sister, and you are discouraged by the storm that you're in right now. You find yourself going through some hell of a situation, but that's all right because I'm preparing you, says the Lord, for the bigger job, for the greater work, for the bigger thing that I want you to do. This is a light thing. Verse number six is a light thing. He said, man, let me tell you something. I'm calling you not just to raise up Jacob, not just to restore the preserved of Israel, those who are coming back into the fold. He said, but man, the word that I'm giving you is going to be a light for the whole world. It's going to be a light to the Gentiles so that you may see salvation, so that you may experience salvation, so that you may bless people to the ends of the earth. Amen. Michael, you're just talking about Mansfield. God is saying, man, I'm talking about the whole country. You're just talking about Mansfield. I'm talking about the entire continent. You're just talking about Mansfield. Man, I'm talking about the whole world. God's saying, boy, you don't know what I have invested in you. You don't know what I have placed in you. If you're listening to me right now, amen, and you've been down on yourself, you don't know what God has placed in you, invested in you, put in you, amen, trying to make alive in you. You got to understand that God is saying, I want you to go through this, and I want you to be preserved through this, and I want you to overcome this because I've got something bigger for you. And then here's a word that came to me. Once when I was beating up my pillow late in the midnight hour, upset, bothered by some of the circumstances in my life, I heard a whisper that says, oh, son, your former days are going to be better than your latter. Amen. I heard God say that later on, son, later on, you're going to look back on these days. You're going to shake your head and you're going to say, God was there with me then. Amen. God was there with me then. Amen. God was there with me then. That's a word for you right now. God is going to be with you and you're going to be on the other side of your mess and you're going to be in a triumphant place. And when you get to that triumphant place, you're going to look back and say, he was with me. Hallelujah. All the way. God is saying to Isaiah, man, you're talking about something little. I got something big for you to do. In verse number 7, he says, thus said the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Amen. 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 Titles, majestic titles, doesn't make you holy. Your station, your place in life won't make you holy. But thus says the Lord, do you know who he is? He's the Redeemer of Israel. Do you know who he is? He is the Holy One. To him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers. God is saying, I chose you. I chose you. I chose you, even though at times you are rejected, even though at times people don't want to listen to you, even when things don't quite come together like you think they should. I made you a servant of rulers. They can reject you and despise you all they want to. But even the king shall see and arise. The word that I'm giving you, even the princes will fall and they'll worship. And I don't go back on my word. Look at verse 7. I don't go back on my word. Why? He declares, the Lord is faithful. You might be catching it right now, but you're still my child. Your heart may be aching right now, but you're still my child. People may not understand you right now, but you're still mine. And God says, I know why I called you. I know what I called you to. I know what you're dealing with. And yet I am faithful. I'm going to walk you through all of this and go make it all right. Boy, that'll make you holler. Verse 8 says, thus said the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. God is saying, in my time, I heard you, but in my time. Verse 8, the Lord says, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. Y'all, God doesn't move in accordance to our time. Amen. God hears us all the time, but God is going to act in his time. And he's going to keep his promise. Verse 8, y'all. He's going to restore his people. The day of salvation, have I helped thee? When it's time for you to be helped, I'm going to do it. And after I help you, I'm going to keep you. I will preserve thee. I'm going to keep you. And I'm going to allow you to be a blessing to other people. Where is that at? Well, right in verse number 8, where he says, give thee for a covenant of the people. God made a promise to some folk. He made a promise to some people that he was going to take care of them. He made a promise to them that they were going to receive what they needed. God made a promise. God picked you. And God put you in a given place. And when God put you there, his covenant was fulfilled with those people. Because you were the person that the people were waiting for. They didn't even know that you were the person that they were waiting for. But God prepared you in the womb. God prepared you through trials. God prepared you through suffering. God prepared you through pain. God prepared you so that when God placed you, you will be the promise that was made to those people. Promise kept when you arrive and you start serving and acting and doing what God wants you to do with them. He made you a covenant to the people. You're the promised one, and you showed up, and now you're doing what God has called you to do. And your job is to establish on the earth and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Because you're there, God is cleaning up stuff through you. Because you're there, God is making things better because of you. Because you're there, God is renewing people. Because you're there, God is enlivening people. Because you are there, God is using you to breathe life back into that situation. Verse number 9 says that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourselves, that they shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. God is saying, oh, my promise showed up. Since you showed up, now let's go to work since you're there. Since you're there, since I put all of this in you, you need to start using your gift. You need to let your gifts, amen, make room for you and enlarge your territory. It's coming out of your spirit. It's coming out of your heart. Yeah, go tell the prisoners, get up out of where you are, where you lie down. Let the chains come down. Go be some. Go and go forth. Get up from where it is you are and go and make a difference. He's saying to them that are in darkness, get out of the darkness. Step into the marvelous light. Show yourselves. Come on out so people can see what God will do with you. Feed. You're going to feed people. You're going to make sure that they have everything that they need. That's the second part of verse number 9. Verse 10 says, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite thee. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. And even by the springs of the water shall he guide them. God is going to supply all of their need. And where there was scarcity, there will now be security. Where there was hunger and thirst, he will now fill their bellies. God is going to be with them even along the springs of water. He's going to make sure that they always have everything that they need. Verse 11, and I will make all my mountains away and my high places shall be exalted. God's going to move out all of your obstacles, any and everything that's in the way. God's going to give you a clear path, a direct route, amen, around dangers seen and unseen. Verse number 12, behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. What God is saying is that he's bringing you out of Assyria. I'm bringing you out of the Mediterranean area. I'm bringing you out of Europe. I'm bringing you out of Africa. I'm bringing you out of Babylon. I'm bringing you and redirecting your life. Final verse, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. This is the day of salvation. Start singing your song. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away, because God has not only restored me, but God has also relocated me to the place of promise. Woo! What a lesson today. A mission to save. That's the mission, to save. May God bless you. May God keep you is our prayer. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the power that is in your word. Help us, Lord God, to receive it, and help us, Lord God, to allow it to put use to these hands, these feet, this mouth, these ears and eyes of ours, so that we, merciful God, so that we, God, may be found right in your sight. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Thank you and we love you, Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. This is our Wednesday Bible study. I'm praying that you will find hope and help in this word, the word of God. It is the refreshment that we all need. May God bless you. May God keep you. Have a good rest of the day. I'll see you Sunday, God willing.
We're very grateful for our very own teacher, and we are grateful for you. We're thankful for the work that you continue to do through your giving. Now, if you want to be part of that, you will see that there are various ways of being able to give. Through your giving, we are able to help feed the needy, help clothe the naked, and help those that are in need. And we are thankful for being the church in the community. Whether it's giving online, whether it's paying your tithes in person, we thank God for each and every one of you.